listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference. Right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Welcome to the Author's Corner, and we want to just invite you to stay connected with us as we go through this week's book review. We're looking here at our guest, who is a woman who spent decades climbing the corporate ladder, serving as a powerhouse HR leader for well-known global giants. But today, we aren't talking about boardrooms and bottom lines. We're talking about the silent battles fought behind closed doors. We've got Dorleen Ngongji. She's a veteran professional, mother of three, and now a powerful voice in South African literature in her raw and deeply moving memoir, Unseen and Unbroken. She pulls back the curtain on the generational scars we often inherit but rarely discuss, from navigating the stigmas of teenage pregnancy to the corrosive effects of family secrets. Dorleen offers a roadmap for anyone looking to turn their unresolved trauma into a story of triumph. And she joins us now on the line. Good morning to you, Dorleen. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Adventist World Radio.
Good morning, Derek. Morning, good afternoon to you and your listeners, wherever they're listening from around the world. I'm so, so happy to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Thank you. We're excited that you could also join us. I truly, truly appreciate you taking the time to be a part of this conversation this morning. We're looking at this book that you penned, the memoir, as we heard in our introduction there, Unseen and Unbroken. Maybe just share the significance behind these two very specific words that represent perhaps your journey.
Thanks, Derek. And firstly, really just thank you for creating the space and the platform for me to share a very personal project, through this book.
Yeah.
And so I think in writing this book contextually, I speak a lot about my personal trauma and really just emanating from, a fractured family where my dad was one of the most notorious drug dealers in Cape Town, and then leading to him dying in prison. That for me then creating, some sense of trauma leading to me then writing this book, amongst other elements, of course, that make up the book. But through all of that, I suppose through that phase, I then made decisions, and some of them, of course, not wise, leading me to become pregnant at 15, at just 15 years old. And when I talk about unseen, I'm speaking about me having at that point being defined within the ambit of my pregnancy. So people viewed me as a teenage pregnant mother more than anything else. That became a defining moment for many people. I was isolated. I was excluded, very dejected at the time. And I was completely misunderstood. And I was living in the silence of pain and confusion. And people didn't really know what was going on with me. And so it's almost like my value was confined around me being a teenage mother. And I mean, I heard statements like, I'll never go anywhere, primarily being defined within the ambit of this limitation I'd find myself in. And so I was really, really unseen, and I was actually isolated. But then the unbroken piece now speaks about transcending from being almost invisible to realizing my power through resilience. And understanding that even though I was under pressure, I was judged and I was isolated, I wasn't really broken. I wasn't actually destroyed.
Yeah.
And that I could actually lean into my power and my purpose. In fact, I started believing or asking myself, what do I actually believe about myself? What is my identity? Who am I beyond what I see right now as a teenage mother? And that sense of meaning and purpose for me kind of created then a path of defining myself within the ambit of the future rather than the challenges that I was actually seeing. So it's a story of hidden struggle, but visible strength. And I know that many of us find ourselves in that space where we're struggling a lot, whether it's personal trauma or related, but we can't really transcend to then living and reclaiming our stories and living our God-given purposes.
What a testimony. What a testimony. And what a reflection as well, right? To say you managed to encapsulate that and say, here's the channel where I'm going to utilize. Because, I mean, somebody else who've gone perhaps through a similar story as you would have ended somewhere totally different. But you said, I'm going to utilize this background and bring something out of it. I think that's something to be marveled and truly applauded. Now, looking at your story, what then was the turning point in your life that made you decide to take time, right, to share your more personal, private story with the world?
Yeah. For the very longest time, my story of teenage pregnancy kept me imprisoned to self. So I was very ashamed. I was very embarrassed. I didn't want to talk about that part of my life. And so there's a part of my life where I was wearing a mask. I was walking around wearing this mask, and it was almost a facade and a lie because I wasn't living to my true, authentic self. And so people would know a part of me, but there was a key and important part of me that I was hiding deliberately. So writing the story was me freeing myself and liberating myself so that I can operate to my optimal levels more than anything else, I think, firstly. Most importantly for me, I then got to realize that once I'd realized, you know, that actually I love myself and I'm content and I'm okay with my story. This is not the sum of who I am. Well, it forms part of who I am, yes, but it doesn't define who I am. And I was liberated. I thought to myself, I know that there are other people that could benefit from hearing my story. And not just teenage pregnancy, but those who feel like, you know what, I'm trapped in what may seem to be a faulty foundation and I don't know how to move forward. And so I thought to myself, it's so critical for me to just talk about my testimony, talk about the grace of God of having snatched me out of that and the realization that we're actually more than what we think we are. We can operate beyond limitations and how people define us within the scope of these challenges that we're in. So it's truly just giving a lifeline to other people who are not able to showcase the level of vulnerability and find the courage to move on, right, and reclaim their purpose, essentially.
I like that. I like that. And I mean, I want to follow up that with this idea of the rallying cry, as you describe your book as, right? To say, who is the target audience? Who are you writing for when you pin Unseen and Unbroken? Is it maybe the teenager that you were who perhaps is going through the same thing today? Or is it the parents that you wished we would have had, or the community that shut you out? Who exactly are you trying to address by Unseen and Unbroken?
Spot on, Derek. I think you're alluding to that. But yeah, I mean, I write to my teenage self because there are many other teenagers that are still having the same, if not similar experiences. And so for me, it's to reassure them and to give them hope and the guidance, and not necessarily advocating for teenage pregnancy per se. Okay. I'm very clear in the book, actually, that people should make wise decisions. But when you find yourself thrust in a situation where you are a teenage mother, I reassure you and I give you hope and I give you a foundation and a guidance and practical tools. But also, I think for me, the book is for every single person that's trying to navigate a sense of purpose and meaning for their lives. Because most of us walk around being caged in our past, right? And so I give practical tools here on truly how to overcome personal trauma and really reclaim your story and pursue your God-given destiny practically. Yeah. And then lastly is obviously then parents, right? And really tools on how to connect with the children and creating a safe space and being a safe space for your children, because many children are going through silent battles that the parents know nothing about. So the book itself empowers parents and equips them with tools on how do you create a safe space where you are the first person your child runs to when they face trouble. So it's multifaceted, the book in itself, and it helps bridge the gap between generations, Derek.
I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much for that. And thank you for speaking out for the voiceless. And then also just reassuring them that they do have assistance and their story is not done just because something has happened in their lives. I think that's very important. You also address the stigma of teenage pregnancy head on, right? You say that you're not condoning, you're just really saying, but if you found here, this is what you can then do. How did that early experience shape the resilient leader that you became, right? The mother that you are today? Talk to us a bit about even though you were found in a space that you had not planned to be and perhaps not a favorable one, but where did that take you?
Thanks, Derek. Yeah, forced me to grow up very quickly.
I can imagine.
Of course. And taught me a lot about accountability and resilience and really just, you know, my strength and the importance of having a very strong sense of purpose very early on. And of course, it taught me this in ways that I wouldn't have chosen ideally, but I deeply value, I think fundamentally, just resilience, accountability and strength. And when I lead my team, for instance, I lead or try to lead with a lot of empathy and openness, and I try and commit. So when I make promises, I actually deliver to those promises, and if I can't, I actually manage expectations. And then just in reference with being a parent, it's a role that I take very, very seriously, particularly, of course, because of, you know, my childhood foundation. So I'm an incredibly intentional parent, and I'm very resolute about creating trauma-free environments for my children. And so when I teach them something, I make sure that I don't act untoward or contrary to what I'm trying to actually teach them, right? And more than anything else, I create a safe space for my children. I want to find out what my children need from me at that specific point in time. It's important for us as parents, of course, to provide guidance and direction. But sometimes we misconstrue our children's needs because we impose. And for me, being an intentional parent means, how do I have conversations with my kids and understand, what do you need from me? What do you want? How can I actually support you? And in that manner, you're creating a safe space of vulnerability so that your children can actually come to you. And then quickly, Derek, there's a technique that I love using as a parent to my children where, you know, when you ask your kids how they're doing, they'll say, oh, we're fine.
Yeah.
That's the one-liner. They'll say, we're fine. And maybe, you know, I do it a bit differently. And I say to them, I use the battery analogy. And I'm like, between 0 and 100%, what's your battery life like? And then if they say to me, it's 60%, I'm like, okay, they're still fine, but let's have a conversation.
Yes.
If it's below 50, I know it's chronic. It's a problem. Let's talk. What is the problem and how can I support? And those are some of the techniques I use with my children. So I'm fundamentally intentional about my parenting with my children. I want my children to tell beautiful stories about their childhood. It means I'm present. It means I'm committed. And it also means that I am aware.
Yeah. I like that because it removes the one word answer, right? The I'm fine, you know, to say, okay, no, I can't say I'm 100% because I know I'm not. So let's then start having actual real responses to the situation that we're in. I think that's a very beautiful way to parent. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that lesson as well. Let's talk about a touchy subject, generational scars. You mentioned that they fester when they don't heal. Talk to us about what that is and also how writing the book personally helped you break the cycles, especially from your previous generation to your own children who are coming after you.
Yeah. So I cried a lot writing this book, Derek. I mean, it was a healing process for me. So every single page was written with intense vulnerability because as I was writing, I was leaning on to reflection, an honest reflection about who I am. Some of my toxic traits, by the way, and who I am generally as a human being, where I can actually improve. I cried a lot. And it kind of forced me to confront uncomfortable and very uncomfortable truths about myself and my childhood that I shied away from, that I actually shelved for a very, very long time. And so in doing so, I became more intentional about being a parent because I didn't want my kids to go through some of the challenges I went through. You know, if I could avert them and avoid them, I wanted to be able to do that. And so it created a lot of awareness for me because when we don't deal with generational trauma and when we don't deal with the pain, it filters onto how we treat our children, how we manage relationships, and it affects our relationships, not only with our children, but people around us. And so that's why it's so crucial for us to be very authentic and honest with ourselves just around the trauma that we've gone through. Seek healing. Be kind and patient. You have to go through the process of healing. You must. You must confront the most uncomfortable aspects about your life because only then can you be, can you grow to become a better version of yourself. And make sure that you obviously leave people better than what you actually found them and make a positive impact to people that are actually around you, right? And don't be a pain point to other people, but actually be a point and a vessel where people find value and where they can actually grow and find meaning. I do think I'm in that space right now because I've done a lot of work in the healing journey and really just being honest with myself and just being an intentional parent. I also want to say, Derek, in ending this, in saying this, and in writing this book, I'm not purporting that parenting is perfect, but I'm speaking about being intentional and progress over perfection. We can never be perfect parents, but we can be intentional. We can be committed. We can try and we can be aware of our children's surroundings and the impact of our decisions and our behaviors on our children and those around us.
Profound indeed. And I think that's what's necessary, right? To make sure that you don't just come into a space and exist, you know, but you actually live and make a difference in that space and you live it better than you found it. I think that's some very important and encouraging message you're sharing right there. What is the one thing that you hope a parent or perhaps their teenager will will do differently after reading Unseen and Unbroken together?
I hope that parents and children begin to talk honestly and without fear.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we can be intimidating to our kids because, of course, we want to be parents. And so we want to be authoritarian, you know. which is okay for us to guide our children and direct, but we also want to be safe spaces for our kids. So I really hope that they talk. I really hope that they break through uncomfortable conversations. And I really hope that this book helps them, you know, lean into intentional parenting and creating safe spaces. If there's anything, Derek, for me, one thing that this book can do and that it can create is that even one meaningful conversation in a home, even one, if it can contribute to one meaningful conversation in a home, then it's done its job. I've received amazing reviews just to, you know, from people that have read the book. But for me, if one person, is able to create a safe space for their children, connect, you know, through conversation, then I'm happy. Then my job is really done. And for people to be able to reclaim these stories and know that fundamentally we're here on earth for a reason. There's a purpose to why we're here. And so we cannot then let one element of adversity define who we become as human beings. And really that people will actually realize that I have a strong sense of purpose. I can do this, right? And so I need to be able to create a meaningful life for myself in this earth more than anything else.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Yeah. And I guess that's the core, right? To say, let's start having conversations that lead us into different and better spaces. I think that is really needed. Well, Dolly, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this morning. And I want us to maybe just wrap up with talking about the book, where people can get, where can they purchase, where can they connect with you and your work as well in your ministry.
Thank you so much for that, Eric. So my book can be found online. So working on distribution in bookstores, but online, people can go to my website. It's Dolly, D-O-L-L-Y dot my surname, N-Q-O-N-J-I dot C-O-N-J-I. But if it's easier for you, you can also go on my social media platform. My tag or my handle, as they call it, is Dolls A-D, D-O-L-L-Z-A-D, D-O-L-L, D-O-L-L-Z-A-D. And in there, you'll find the link in my bio to go and purchase the book.
Marvelous stuff. Thank you so much, Dolly. We truly, truly appreciate your time. And once again, all the best with the book and your ministry as a whole. We appreciate you coming through.
Oh, thank you, Derek. Always happy to be here. Thank you. Beautiful conversation with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
You are listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference. Right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.